Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with the one and only Idina Menzel, who's coming to the MGM National Harbor on Sunday, July 9th, and I think also another show in Baltimore on July 18th. Idina, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. This is a real treat.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Now, if our listeners who are, you know, huge fans of yours, if they come out to see your show, what can we expect to hear? Is it a little, you know, we get Let It Go, Defying Gravity?
No, you'll get none of those songs.
All right. Good. Yeah, starve them.
No, of course. You get songs that you would expect to hear and some surprises. And the fun and challenging thing about, you know, someone that goes on the road a lot and loves to do live performance like myself is to find cool new arrangements, you know, to keep me creatively, you know, fulfilled, and yet I, you know, to let the audience hear what they want to hear. So I think there's a good balance between doing that and then finding some cool musical surprises and some new covers, and we jam, and you know, my band has been with me for many years, and so we've just been really having a good time.
Awesome. Can we get a little, I don't want you to give away the whole set list, but we get a little teaser of some of those covers you mentioned?
Yeah, we do an Aretha Franklin tune that I've always just wanted to do, and I interject a little Led Zeppelin for some second in there.
Wow.
And, yeah, just some fun things, you know. I stopped, you know, putting restrictions on myself. And just when there are songs that I've always wanted to do and wanted to sing, I don't worry about it. And as long as they, to me, sort of continue to tell the story of the evening and fit in the set list the right way, then I've just been having fun with it.
No restrictions. You're through accepting limits, as the lyric goes. I love it. So take me back to, you know, the early days growing up in Queens. We just spoke with Adam Pascal, came to town a couple months ago, and I didn't realize that you guys knew each other before Rent, and he was just sort of a rocker, and you got him cast in there?
So sweet. He gives me credit for that. Yeah, I was dating one of his best friends, and we lived around the corner from each other since we were little kids. And our friend, my boyfriend at the time, was working like an intern at an agency, and he kind of snuck me in, like faxed my resume in and got me the audition. And then I knew that they were still looking for that character. So I said, hey, I know this guy I grew up with and he's awesome. And yeah. So I guess I can take a little credit, but it's mostly Adam. Adam's amazingness.
Awesome. Yeah, but your role, Maureen, it's just such a great, quirky sort of breakout role for you. I mean, I've always wanted to know, when you're doing that sort of jump over the moon, you know, a little bit there in the show at the protest there, when you're rehearsing that and you're planning those hilarious, like, I'm crying laughing every time I see you do those, like, jolty body movements. Is that you or is that Jonathan Larson planning that out?
It's a little Jonathan Larson, a little me, and a lot of Michael Grice, the director, who I love very much, who's actually directed Dear Evan Hansen, a show that everybody should go see. And
Evan Hansen was amazing, yeah, by the way. We saw it. It was down here,
right?
In D.C. It opened down here at Arena Stage in D.C. before it made its way up.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
What a show.
Yeah. So, that's what you call the creative process in the early days of rehearsal, and everyone just kind of like being open to something and some saying, keep that, get rid of that. And that's the process that I love the most, I have to be honest. Just kind of getting involved like really early on in the show when they're really conceptualizing and writing, you know, a brand new song or something. It's just, it's an honor when they let you be a part of that process and a fly on the wall there. And then it makes my job easier because by the time it comes around and we're up on the stage, you know, the character and myself, you know, you don't know where one begins and the other ends because they've been using you as a muse in some way. So it's just it makes my life easier, and it's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Well, we all will love Maureen forever. The Tango Maureen forever, baby. You get a Tony nod for Rent nomination, but you win for Wicked, which, I mean, Margaret Hamilton was freaking scary as that role, and you just changed this what used to be a villain to such a lovable role in Elphaba. Do you look back on that and just sort of pinch yourself that you were part of? I mean, not everyone gets to be in one of the greatest Broadway shows of all time. You were in two, at least.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I pinch myself all the time. Believe me, I recognize that, because it's one thing to have, you know, a lot of great successes in your career and things that make money or, you know, commercial success. But it's another thing to be a part of things that really, really resonate deeply with an audience that have themes and messages that change people's lives and are empathetic to what they are experiencing in their life. And, I mean, that's art, you know, to begin with. But it's the kind of thing, I guess, because it resonates with young people, and then it kind of exponentially goes, you know, ripples out from there, and it's just so lasting, you know. And I get up on stage, and the generational connection it's just great for me, you know. I grow up with my audience, and then they have kids, and then their kids see, you know, the next show, and it's a gift, really.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that sort of generational thing. I think a lot of it's too, like, in those songs, your more famous lyrics and everything, it's so inspirational for those kids, like Defying Gravity we mentioned, you know, earlier in this interview about, you know, you're done with limitations, or something like, you know, Let It Go, it's you're telling them the past is in the mm-hmm. past, you know, let the cold doesn't bother me anyway. Do you sort of view those sort of songs as, you know, almost like a textbook for those kids, say, you know what, I can go off of that. It's inspirational.
Yeah, it's even deeper than that. I mean, it's because something has to relate. You have to relate to something on a personal level first. So I relate to it as a woman, you know, and struggling to find my own voice and wrestling with my own lack of self-esteem and needing to spend years of my life figuring out what made me special and different in this world, and not being afraid to let that shine. And I think that's something all of us, men and women, struggle with, but especially women have a harder time stepping out and letting their bigger, larger, stronger selves be heard for fear of not being liked, you know?
Right.
And so it's something that comes from, these are characters and songs and shows that appeal to me and are reminders to me of where I want to go in my life and how I want to evolve. So it starts there, and then it, like I said, it ripples out to young people and hopefully helps them feel like they are being heard.
Awesome. When you're standing there, you step into that recording booth to record Let It Go as Elsa and Frozen. Did you have a hunch, like, wow, this is well written? But there's no way to know that kids are going to be dressing up for you, you know, as Halloween for years to come. But, you know, I mean, did you have a hunch that, wow, this song's really special?
Yes, of course. I felt the song was a great song. And Kristen and Bobby Lopez are, you know, talented, amazing songwriters. But, no, I mean, I try not to jinx anything in my life. I've been around long enough to know there are highs and lows and ebb and flows, and you know, you never know what's going to happen. So to me, I was just like really happy that I was cast in a Disney movie, a Disney musical, because that's a milestone to begin with, to just voice a Disney character.
Yeah.
And I was excited about that, and that I had a big song, you know, that's really where it was. I had no idea it would become what it has become.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time. You've been more than generous. Final seconds before we go, I got to ask you, do you still get people coming up on the street saying, Adele Dazeem?
Yes, I still have people say it to me, and John Travolta has been extremely apologetic and sweet, and continues to send me emails just congratulating me on things that happened in my life. And so it's actually been a very, very happy mistake, and I'm happy when people come up to me on the street and recognize me, period. So whether they call me by the right name or the wrong name, it's okay.
Well, I love that you guys, how you handled it in stride, and you're right. It's like you took a guess what could be an embarrassing thing and just made it something super positive. It's a classic thing we can all laugh about. I love about it.
Exactly.
Plus, he said you were wickedly talented. That everyone forgets that part. So. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Again, it's Idina Menzel at MGM National Harbor on Sunday, July 9th. Thanks so much, Idina.
Thanks for having me. See you soon.
We'll see you out there.
Okay, bye.